God is good, and all the time. We also know that He is risen. And two, we know that God has called His church to love God through His Son, to love God, love others, and go. And today, we do that just as we do every day, I pray, as the heart of Christ's church, that we enter into this world understanding that we are all ministers of the Word of God, that our lives are as Christ's life was, to be lived as an example unto the world as how to love God, how to love others, and how to go. And if you need to, speak every now and then. Can I get an amen, church? So today, we're going to continue with our last installation of our seven-week series during the time of Lent, and today being Easter Sunday, I had a feeling many of you probably knew what I would be talking about today. You figured it would either be death or life, right? Well, the amazing thing is, in Jesus Christ, His death brings life. Can I get an amen? And that is what we're going to be speaking of today. For of the seven things that we must let go of if we are to live life abundantly, number seven is death. We must let go of death. What does that mean? Where do we draw this from? And then how do we show it into our world? Well, it begins this day in the book of John, if you would please. The book of John, chapter 20. Book of John, chapter 20. From verse 1 in chapter 20, we read these words. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. He stooped and looked in. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at his feet, where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Blessed be the word of our Lord. As we read these words, as we come to the understanding, and all of us know, we've been through many Easters, amen? We've been through many Easters. We understand that in these words we see the resurrection. It is real. He is alive. That tomb is empty. And since that time when the tomb was emptied, men have been trying to fill the tomb once again. It's our nature outside of God. We constantly fill it. What do we fill it with? We fill it with sin. We fill it with death. Sin is death. Sin is separation from God. But you see, in Christ taking upon ourselves, or taking upon Himself our sins, excuse me, taking upon Himself our sins have been remitted. We no longer walk in sin. We no longer walk in the curse of sin. Can I get an amen on that? Because the reality is, you and I still sin. We are sinners because we are yet in this body. We are broken. We think things, we do things, we say things that we ought not do, say, or be. But God knows our shortcomings, and God's grace is far greater than anything we could ever understand. That one little word, if we would understand that one little word, do you realize how it would change our lives? Because in His grace, you and I are transformed from the sinful nature to the righteous nature of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But how do we do that? How can we look upon this, and how can we understand where this is going? Well, we have to understand what Jesus said about Himself and what He meant. In John 11, back just a few chapters, John 11, it's just one sentence that Jesus spoke. And you all know this. It was when He was speaking to the sisters about Lazarus. And He declared who He is and what He had come for. If I can get my page to turn. From the 26th verse. From the 25th verse. I'm sorry. It says 26, but it's the 25th verse. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will even live if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in Me will never die." Do you believe this? When you and I come to the place of understanding, every one of us in this world is going to die. I'm not talking about physical death when I say we need to let go of death. I'm talking about spiritual death. Now, if you are of the mindset of your pastor, we know we are in the last generation who will see all these things. How do I know that? Because Israel became a nation once again. Israel has lived in relative safety for a period of time. Now we see the rumblings of the things that are bringing about the transformation of our world unto the tribulation. All kinds of signs are being brought into our world. How many of you know what the next sign coming is? April 8th. Are you ready? 7 years ago this September, 7 years ago this September, the sign was in the sky that was spoken of that had to precede these things. It was the sign of the Virgin in travail as she was giving labor. It's been here. We've been told. And now these things move up. As we look to where we're going, have you given up death in your life? Have you come to the place of saying, "Lord God, I receive You and I cast out my sin. I cast it out." And how many of you are trying to work at that? Well, nobody's hand went in the air. I'm disappointed. Because that's something we all need to be trying at. Can I get an amen? Today, I want us to understand this Sunday, this day, is not about the death of our physical bodies. It's about the death of our spiritual bodies. Because when we let go of death, when we let go of sin, all of a sudden we become transformed, where we can once again be the image of God. Because He is the resurrection. He has paid that price. And we can be transformed through that regenerative power that raised Jesus from the dead. Because God is raising us from the dead every day. Every day. That's why we go through confession of sin. How many of you pray your prayers of confession of sin every day? Yeah, I do. Oh, my heavens, yes. I have to. Because how many of us sin and don't even realize we did it? You know, that's the truth of the matter. We know when we purposefully sin, and then we'll repent of that. But how many of us sin against God and don't even realize we've done it? How many of you have been on the freeway? I don't even need to go any further, do I? How many of you have been in the checkout at Walmart? Again, I don't need to go any further, do I? How many of you on your way to church this morning? Again, I don't need to go any further, do I? We are sinners by nature because of this body that is broken. But the thing that we need to realize is we are no longer slaves to this body. For he who is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit in us, we have been set free from the law of sin and death, from the curse of the law of sin and death. That as we repent and as we try and try and try, God gives us life. And that life is an abundant life unto all eternity. But it's not just in that one thing. We need to remember, I gave you seven different things that you need to live by. And yes, I got all my notes here. That way I can make sure that I give you all of these things. What were the seven things that we are supposed to let go of? What are the seven things that through God's Word, all of us know this stuff because we're told it and told it and told it throughout the Scriptures. We are to let go of control. We are to let go of our expectations. We are to let go of our lives, to let go of popularity, to let go of superiority, to let go of enemies, and finally to let go of death, to let go of sin. I like using the word death there because it brings us to the cross of Christ. It brings us to the tomb of Christ where we know death could not hold him. And that was both a physical thing and a spiritual thing. Can I get an amen? And it's going to be a physical thing for us in time. For our bodies shall be changed. For those of us who are alive in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet call of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are left, who are alive, shall be called up into the air to meet the Lord in the clouds. And from that day, we shall live forever in the presence of God. And the church says, but we have got to let go of these things. If we don't let go of them, they control us. And this is the point that I've wanted to make. If you want to live that abundant life, you have got to let go of these things, because if you don't, you cannot live life abundantly. They will control you and they will stop you. They will bring doubt into your mind, they'll bring confusion into your mind, and they will bring control into your life. Jesus Christ is the only one who has true control over the life of a Christian. Can I get an amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. And in his resurrection, we live this day. Today, I want us to understand that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all things. Jesus rising on Easter morning was more than a showy miracle to shock and awe his attackers and his followers. When Jesus rose, he turned the entire order of the universe on its head. The resurrection shows us that death does not have the last word. God has the last word, and that word is life through the suffering and death of our Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, by the power of his resurrection, and the church says. And today we stand in the presence and awe of that resurrection. I want us to remember that each and every one of us are called by Christ to live in a certain and worthy manner. As we look at our world, the world, as I said earlier, is trying to put death back into that tomb. The tomb is empty. I think it's amazing. We still don't know exactly where that tomb was. There are many who proclaim, well, it was here. No, it was here. No, it was here. Do you think the church even cared where the tomb was? Wouldn't they have marked it and commemorated it and all? I mean, isn't that what we all do? We put a plaque up, don't we? Even the church does that. I want you to think about it. Now, we don't have a church here as such as the building, the facility. We have a church because we understand the reality of church. You are the church. But how many church buildings have you been in where this elevator was dedicated to this family? Or these pews were dedicated to this family? You know, when we do something amazing, we want to put a plaque on it. Why don't we know where the tomb is? Jesus didn't want us celebrating a tomb. He wanted us coming to a living God who is yet here this day. Can I get an amen? And in that we rejoice, for Jesus Christ is alive, and He is well, and He is here, and He's here not just for us, but He's here for the world. All of you folks who are out there watching us on internet land, God bless you, and please understand this word is for you. The message of the cross is for you. The message of the empty tomb is for every person who would believe. Today we have the greatest hope we could ever have because we're seeing the darkness all around us. It's here, and it's ever present, and it is raising its ugly head for the last time. Now, does that mean it's going to end tomorrow? Well, I have no idea. I'm not in control. Aren't you glad? For those of you who know me, and for those of you who don't, you will be glad as you do get to know me, because I'm a mess, and so are all of you. Can I get an amen? But together, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are the body of the Lord. And we come together on this day to partake of communion, that we would be one, not only here in this church, but throughout the church of the world. And we know that in the world there is much of the church that is not the church of Jesus Christ, but it is a church of apostasy. And yet they will partake of the same elements today. Hence why I read to you what I did earlier from the 1866 Order of Service. Because we have forgotten what this day and what this Eucharist means. Now, for those of us who are in Christ, we haven't forgotten, have we? We know every time we take communion what we are doing. Because it is the satisfaction of our souls. It's the only thing that satisfies our souls. Jesus said, if you drink of this water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And how many of us go to anything else to find refreshing? No. There's only one spring that leads up to eternal life, and that is the spring of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the pure water of the Word of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Ryan asked me this morning, do you want 35 minutes today? I said, yes, put 35 minutes up, but prayerfully, I will not make 35 minutes today. And he laughed. I've got 16 minutes left. And I've got about 6 minutes of sermon. Today, let us read the word of the Lord from the Apostle Peter as he spoke to the people. From the 34th verse, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the things which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Blessed be the word of our Lord. He has taken death out of the equation for us. We need to let it there. Death had entered that tomb. Death went into hell, and death stayed there. Jesus Christ arose. Amen and amen. When we understand what that means to you and I, where is our sin? All the sin that we are going to commit from this day forward, where is it? It's already in hell, and it's not coming back out, because Jesus isn't going back in. When you and I come to that conclusion, death has been separated from us. Christ has let it go in our lives. Now we need to let it there. Dead to us, but alive to Christ. And that is the body of Christ on this Easter Sunday, that we are alive to God, both now and forever. Therefore, let us be committed to letting go of these seven things that God has preordained for each and every human being to live through, but to gain the control of through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may live the life that Jesus Christ himself lived unto eternity. Jesus died on our behalf. Some of us are going to be buried. Others of us are going to be raptured. I think that day's coming soon. I think that day's coming sooner than we know. Can I prove that? I can see the times of the seasons. Can I get an amen? I'm not told to know the day. Jesus said, you know, hey, you can tell the weather what it's going to happen today, but you don't see the seasons. I'm seeing the seasons. I know we're there. When is it going to be? Well, when do you know a storm's coming? When you can see the storm clouds on the horizon. How many of you are seeing the storm clouds on the horizon? But may we remember, even when dark, when night is at its darkest, what is our hope? Morning will come. Morning will come. For the light of Christ will never fail us. Can I get an amen, church? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this day because we know that the light of Christ is coming. We know that the hope of salvation is here. And his name is Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we come to you this Sunday morning, this Easter Sunday morning. As we have prepared ourselves for this time of communion, Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every spirit, every soul, every ounce that we are, that you would be totally God in our lives, from beginning to end, top to bottom, side to side, that there's nothing that we have not given to you and nothing that we lack your control over. May we be truly blessed. May we truly be whole, and may we truly be holy by the sanctifying blood of our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ, and in whose name we pray, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.